Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another conservative talk radio show. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're always right and we're never left. I hope that all is safe and well and keeping you all in my prayers during this crisis of the coronavirus. We are honored and blessed to have into the studio today Major Williams, who is from Pasadena, California. I believe he is a candidate or former candidate for mayor of Pasadena, California. As we all know in this nation, California has a lot of problems, and it is refreshing to have on my show people that want to stand up for the people of California, not for politics. Without any further ado, let me bring into the studio on the air Major Williams.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's a blessing to have you, Major. For my audience, please briefly describe who you are, a little bit about your background, and what's going on in your political career.
Sure. Just recently came off a year and a half long campaign, working and striving to become the next mayor of Pasadena, California. It was a first-time candidate. Worked in politics for the last 2.5-3 years behind the scenes and saw a lot of things that wasn't working in politicians, that wasn't working for the benefit of the actual people, or just having the resolve to solve some of the so-called complex issues. And so I just decided to put my name in a hat and give it a shot and run a campaign that was very organic and unorthodox, and it was very foretelling. As far as my career, I have a background educationally in marketing and entrepreneurship and being a part of nonprofits for over the last 15 to 20 years. I currently am the founder of my nonprofit, which is called Major Kicks for Kids, in addition to, just recently being a new author of a book called My Blessages. And I also go around the country talking about entrepreneurship, small business development, and brand building with small business owners and other entrepreneurs, whether it be the youth or actually working with single mothers as well, too, helping them create additional revenue, but also understanding their credit. So I'm just, I'm on a mission to empower people and bring value. And that's been the foundation of who I am, who I've been for the last 20 some odd years. And I wanted to bring it to bringing it to fruition in the public service sector, simply because I felt like there was a need for it and it's missing, especially being, in California, which we are all aware of the issues that we are facing here in California. But I am not deterred. I'm focused, and I know that we can get this particular state back on track, no different than we're all fighting to get our country back on track right now.
Major, I want to say thank you very much for your service to the community. You are an example of what an elected official should be prior to running for office. Your commitment to public service is without question. Your foundation for the kids is without question. These are the type of people that we need in government today, and I hope that you will not be deterred, and I hope that you will continue to engage in politics, be a voice of reason, and also I hope that you will consider running again for the mayor of Pasadena. Across this country, we need people like yourself who are doing the work in the communities. We don't need career-long politicians. We need people that want to get things done like yourself, already active in your community, working with your community, and getting things done. And my hat is off to you. And like I said, I'm honored and blessed to have you on this show, talking about your experience, educational background, and what you want to do for the future. Just to turn the page a little bit, keeping in step with politics, you've only been in politics for a couple of years now. Apparently, you've identified a lot of deficiencies within the political landscape. Do you continue, or what are you going to continue to do now while you're waiting for the next election to try to stay engaged and raise the level of consciousness among your supporters and constituents about the issues and about where politics is in California and where it needs to go? I know I put a lot in that box there, but
no, it's fine. So So the reality of it is there's a dual perspective that I've had to adopt here recently. After my campaigning election, first of all, I made history. I'm the first African-American to get as many votes that I got as far as not being a part of politics ever before in a very blue city. And so that told us many things. We was able to collect data in regards to that, the messaging that I used, the ideology that I stand for, and knowing that I was Republican running and the only Republican running, I still galvanized a good, you know, over 8% of the votes, which, you know, ideally people didn't think I would get 100 votes. And so that's one aspect of it, of realizing that although I didn't win and I came in third, I moved the needle. I shifted the needle to the point to where the day after the election, I'm on the phone with the current mayor and also the other top candidate, which is a 19-year city council member, and they are applauding me for the campaign that I ran. So being aware of that and that particular momentum versus this crisis that we're going through right now kind of stalled a lot of the momentum that we had to show people. Even without me becoming the mayor, I still had some objectives and initiatives that I still was going to push through. And so am I finishing politics? No, I'm not finishing politics. As far as what I would be doing in between this gap between the next election and now, is that I will continue to do the work. I have a track record in history of simply going beyond the words and producing through the actions that I actually partake in my community, which would be me focusing on my nonprofit. I also went a step further to, you know, I created my first 100-day plan, which is the exact plan that I was going to use if I became the mayor of Pasadena. By speaking to both of the candidates at this particular time, if they're wanting to bring me on board or get my endorsement, they know that in order to get my endorsement that I want to deliver on my 100-day plan, which would be to amend a measure that we have, two measures called Measure I and J. And the idea was this measure has already been voted on by the voters to allocate $21 million for certain services, our school district, and in our infrastructure. And my plan was, how do we galvanize our communities that are going unheard and feel like they're being pushed out of the city, which in some retrospect they are being at. But how do I come in as a new candidate and be beneficial for them and their plight? So I came up with an idea to amend Measure I and J, which is $21 million a year that the taxpayers has already agreed upon. They come up with a four-year program saying that we're going to amend it, and we're going to allocate $1 million a year for a program to be able to direct those funds to those particular communities, and also on overseas travel programs. See, as I said earlier, I'm about empowerment. So two families a year would be able to go abroad and travel, have that particular experience, and bring that experience back to their communities and share with other families and other kids and other single parents so they can, you know, be expecting to do something like that, you know, the next year, so they have to meet certain benchmarks. So a lot of things that I was going to do as mayor within the first 100 days, I still can do. And so that for that, I'm still excited about it. I created the Pasadena Empowerment Group, which is a Facebook group that we're launching in 2 weeks. And it's basically going to be an unofficial committee. So everyone who has a voice, instead of doing a lot of activism out on the street saying what city council members should do, I'm saying, why don't we start doing it? We have the numbers, and I want to show them how to learn and show them how to truly fight and get things on the agenda in City Hall, because the public servants are elected by the people. And if we come together and we push the narrative and the agenda, we can get a lot more things done instead of being the ones on the outside, being frustrated, just screaming and shouting and being activists, so to speak. We have to put the action along with that as well, too. So I'm not deterred, not one bit. I definitely am going to run for office again. I'm definitely going to accomplish a lot over the next couple of years leading up into the 2024 election, if I don't do something even before then. But I'm very charged up and activated to be of service.
Well, you know, I can't thank you enough, and I'm very proud to hear that your 8% will still be heard after the election. That is a very interesting dynamic, is that you turnkeyed your supporters into moving policy, which is awesome. And that's what running for an office is. You know, it's winning for the people, and you're still winning for the people. And my hat is off to you. And I hope that you would consider when you want to run for your next office that you'll come on our platform and give us an update on what's going on so we could help spread the word. For those that are tuning in, this is Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're always right and never left, and we're proud and blessed to have in the studio today former mayoral candidate, a Republican from California, Pasadena, California, Major Williams, talking about his new time in politics, what he's doing in the community on the nonprofit side, and how he's turnkey his third place election loss to a win still for the people. That is an awesome story. And if more candidates had that type of insight to, if you don't win, you can still be a part of the conversation, then the job is still done on the will of the people. And you are a great right. example of that. And I will be talking about your story in the future, because it's very, very important that candidates realize that running for office is just not for that time for the people, but it's a continuous movement of raising the level of consciousness of the complex issues that you've identified and moving the needle forward. You are doing that. You're an example of that. And I can't thank you enough for talking about your work that you're doing and the demonstration you're doing in Pasadena, California. Now, we know
Absolutely.
That California
well,
is on the national. Thank you. No problem. We know that California is on the national landscape of just about every major issue, whether it be fentanyl, homelessness, veterans being homeless, mental health. Would you name it? California's got it. I haven't been to Pasadena, California in over 20 years, so I don't know. And I know Pasadena, for the most part, was pretty much a nice city. What is the makeup of your city and its dynamic? And can you hone in on some of the most critical problems that are facing Pasadena right now?
So, so there's one aspect that I was looking at even as a candidate. You know, over the last 10 years ago, the black population in Pasadena was over 21%. But if you look at today's time, currently today, it's only 4%. And so
right.
there's been a huge shift in regards to the culture and being priced out. The market has changed here in Pasadena. It's a very beautiful city. There's a lot of great culture, beautiful landmarks, and, there's opportunity all over the place. But it has to be more defined on who the opportunity is for. And those are one of the things that we have to bring alignment back in regards to who the opportunity is for. And from a political standpoint, you know, it's a good majority of Democrats here. But what we did was we strategized to be very effective. We understood that the last campaign and election, the current mayor that's in office now in 2015, he won with only 15,000 people showed up, and he won with 8,000 votes. And so we looked at the dynamics of having 33,000 Republicans, registered Republicans here in Pasadena, and our mission was to activate them and to get them out. And we did a really good job. I just think when it came down to the funding, we came up short to be able to consistently message on a larger platform. You know, the current mayor and the council member, they literally had like two or three mailings coming to everyone's house the last 3 weeks of the campaign and flooded everyone. And they kind of muffled a lot of what we were doing. But, you know, homelessness is a huge issue here in the city. And I've suggested this many times. I said this could easily be the next 10th city, considering 14 minutes down the road is Los Angeles, which is 70,000 plus homelessness and encampments all over the place, disease infested, typhus breakouts. A lot of crime, and us having Metro making it easy access for other individuals to come into our town, we could easily be the next 10th city. So that's a huge issue for a lot of people in the community, and they really have a strong concern about that. And I came up with a few ideas on how we can mediate that to try to fight that off. Beyond that, it's just funding, spending. You know, we're a very affluent town. We don't have a money problem. We just have a spending problem, and understand and how to prioritize and you know, no one is creative enough or have the imagination to produce additional revenue. It's like everyone's waiting on standby for something to happen, and things are not happening. And also affordable housing. You know, we have a lot of new luxury apartments here in Pasadena, and some of them for 2 years have only been 30% occupied over 2 years, and yet we have issues with people being housed. And so those are some of the key issues here in the city. Crime is, it's at an uptick, a little bit, but not like violent crime, but just like a lot of happening right now. Those are the key issues that people had issues with during the actual campaign in the election, which was homelessness, affordable housing, and just making sure that our public school systems were adequate enough for our kids. You know, our ratings as a school system doesn't match the morale of the affluency of our city. And that's going to be a tough battle because, you know, we passed a measure INJ last year to help our public school systems, and the voters agreed on it. Just to get to this year, and we closed 4 schools, and so everyone feel betrayed because it was marketed and sold to them as if this was going to be what's going to help and save our schools. And so there's a lot of distrust with the community, with our elected officials, and it's going to take a lot of work. You know, so I look forward to being a part of it. Whoever the next mayor is, I look forward to working with them to make sure that we have alignment and fair assessments throughout the city for the benefit of everyone.
Thank you so much. In our last couple of minutes of the show, this is a conservative talk radio show. Let's talk about the Republican Party in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it in California and nationally.
Right.
You know, I'm also an African-American conservative. Now, let me speak for the East Coast briefly to help you to lead into this conversation. And I had a conversation on one of my other radio talk shows, I think last week. And I talked about some of the things that the Republican Party needs to do to bring back its vision, its voice, and its message. We have a rich history within the Republican Party of African-American participation. And
right.
The Republican Party, even on the national landscape, is missing that message. And I don't know why they don't push that narrative about the history of the Republican Party versus the history of the Democratic Party. They're very, very clear. And I don't understand why, and maybe you can chip in, why the National Republican Party doesn't harness its history, its religious position more, because most African Americans are very religious. We're conservative. We go to church. I mean, I don't understand. And I'm asking you because you're new in politics. I've been in politics all my life. So I'm kind of asking you, what do you think that it is? Why are they missing that message? And I'm sure that this problem in the Republican Party is across the whole country. And that's why I mentioned California. You know, New Jersey's a blue state where I'm from. It's California's a blue state. What do you think some of the things that we need to do or we're not doing that we should be doing?
You know, sometimes I refer to the analogy of what my grandmother used to say. A lot of our elders used to say, you know, you're doing too much. If you want to do something, you have to focus on one thing. And what happens when it comes to the Republican Party, in my perspective, is really noisy. We're throwing so many things up against the whiteboard to try to see if it sticks that we can't focus on, we can't hone or master certain messages that could truly, in hindsight, be beneficial for us, like understanding the history and using that as a springboard versus trying every little thing, being active on social media, trying this and trying that. And, I mean, everyone is guilty of that. I mean, I was guilty of that during my campaign simply because I couldn't afford to just focus on just one thing. But the Republican Party in whole, especially on the national level, they're uniquely different because at some capacity they do have the funding to be able to do that effectively enough. But it's something that they're not actually gravitating towards. Like they're mimicking the smaller tier candidates and programs and Republican clubs and how people are doing stuff on social media versus being the trendsetter and truly using that as a reference to be the strongest marketing tool to uphold what we represent. And I've said that over and over again, even with my campaign. You know, one of the biggest things that was a disappointment for me is that, you know, I went to countless Republican clubs and I spoke to countless Republican clubs. And one of the biggest things that, you know, people would say is that, you know, we think you are, and I'm not making this up, they would say, I think you are a great candidate. You're educated, you're articulate, just as you said earlier, I have a track record. I have a track record of being a public service, you know, and I've made, you know, a couple of dollars, I've made a couple other people money. So I have a track record of being this really good guy. I have the beautiful black wife. I have the kids.
Right.
You know, I came from the projects and built myself up. So in hindsight, if you look at, you know, a candidate, the person that could do something, I kind of fit that mold. And a lot of people felt that way, at least they said that. But when it came down to the actual action and acting now and later, those are the things that we have to change. And we have to put that out there. And I said this to many of the presidents. I said, hey, you know, we have to act now and later. And if you have 1,000 people in your group, every group member, if you truly invested in turning California red, it has to start with seeds like me getting in these elected offices. So if you have 1,000 people that are part of your group, it has to be mandatory that every single person does at least $1 to this campaign every single month. I'm showing them how we could win. And now, mind you, if I said that, and I did say it to 20 or 40 different groups, right? Then that, what does that mean? My campaign is funded. I showed them how we can win, right? And no different than, you know, when I'm in politics, I said, hey, the difference between me and the current mayor or even the city council member who's in the top two, I said, they don't have the true track record of presenting something that they thought of that worked for the city. Everything is brought to them. They make a vote upon it. There's a difference between doing business and being a part of business or making the decision. There is no true experience in voting because you're voting based upon what was presented to you. And I know I said that a lot in my campaign. So I think one of the biggest disconnects is understanding how to support really good candidates when we have them, but also just making sure that they know that we can have a message that embeds history. I have a good friend of mine. Her name is Miss Ashley Gillum. She was a consultant for me during my campaign. And one of the greatest things that she did for me it was to enlighten me about the cultural history of affiliations, the African-American affiliation with the Republican Party. You know, I never hide any bones in regards to sharing my political background. I was a Democrat by default. My grandfather, my grandmother, my mother was. Even today, my entire family, I can't tell you one Republican in my family. But the difference between me and my family, people always ask me all the time, do they treat you differently, how they feel out? Which, you know, my family loves the heck out of me. Why? Because of the foundation of who I am. And it's just very sad to see people who have combative relationships with their family members because of ignorance, because they don't like our president. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And so if I had any advice for the Republican Party, is to get fresh perspectives in there, because the perspective in the leadership that we have currently right now, it's not going to help the plethora of good candidates like myself and others that I know of to actually propel and be the ones who come and grab the baton after their time is over. They're not giving us the alley-oop. They're not giving us the setup that we need to go to the next level. And one last example I share, although I am a huge supporter and a big fan of, you know, our president, one of the things I felt like was divisive that his administration did is create Voices for Trump. Like, Voices for Trump is a great thing, but what a lot of people don't know, and I've only talked about this twice, is that all of my good friends that were huge political conservative influencers, they can no longer help a candidate like me, meaning that they can't tweet about it, they can't say anything about it because it has to be approved by the White House. And if they do it, It's like the president is endorsing me. And so it put a halt. I had the whole team ready to raise $150,000 for me, and it went out the door. So small things like that, they have to know that it's detrimental to the ones that's coming up behind them. And that's what we need to work on, that connectivity and that understanding.
Major Williams, I want to thank you so much for your knowledge, insight, dedication to the community and public service, and coming on our show today and talking about the challenges California faces, the challenges we face in the Republican Party. And I hope that you would come back on this platform again and give us an update. If people would like to get in contact with you, please share your information for my listeners.
Absolutely. I'm very active on social media. My Instagram and my Twitter is called Major Candidate. I also have a brand new book that's available right now. I'm talking about some of the stories that happened during my campaign, but also sharing some other tidbits. And I also have over 20 Republican influential personalities that's a part of this book, sharing their blessings as well. And it's available at www.myblessings.com, which is in the link in my Instagram and also my Twitter. And no different than when I was running, I'm really approachable. My number is 626-623-3753. I always share my numbers directly. Me, you can contact me by via text or even call. But I'm not done, and I'm going to need any and everyone's support. I'm looking for candidate ambassadors where you actually, for the next couple of years, agree to, pay $8.50, you know, for the next couple, like 2 years. And that helps me continue to do the work that I'm doing to build name, ID, and recognition. So when the time comes for me to run again, my campaign is already fully funded. That's the things that I'm putting together, and that's why I'm asking for everybody's support.
Thank you very, very much. God bless you and your family in this most difficult time with the coronavirus. My prayers are with you, your family, Pasadena and California. And thank you so much again, Major Williams, for being on the show today. This is Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We're always right, never left. You can follow us on Twitter at Right Talk Radio. You can also follow us on Facebook at Conservative Talk Radio. You can like and follow our page. I am also on Twitter at Right Talk Host. You can also follow me on Facebook at Right Talk Radio Host. Please join us next Wednesday in the studio. We will have an exciting candidate coming up. Next week, we're going to have Buzz Patterson, who's running for U.S. Congress in California's 7th Congressional District, former Air Force pilot. We are excited to have Buzz on the air, stepping up once again to serve the public as he did in the military. Take this opportunity to thank all of my listeners for tuning in to Conservative Talk Radio. As always, we keep you in our prayers and in our thoughts. And please, be safe, stay home, and God bless you all. Until next time. Conservative Talk Radio, we're always right, never left. We thank you for tuning in, supporting us, and following us. God bless you all.